Or your phone. I'm not prejudiced. Or your Apple Pad or tablet. Amen. Oh, God's good, and we're having a good time, and the Holy Spirit is living in each one of us. And I want you to remember that. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Since we get to do this again, we can just, this week, some kind of a continuation from last week. Talked about how the Lord works in us and through us. And now, if you remember at the end of the message last week, we just read without comment the final verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul begins to talk about the end of the age and the coming of the Lord Jesus. And when he does that, there is obviously, here we are 2,000 years down the road, and the Lord is still preparing his church, is he not? He's still reaching the world with the Holy Spirit living in each of you, each of us, you and me and our children, and we're thankful for that. Do we know why he's waiting during this period of time? No, we don't. We don't have to, because we're, again, he's working it on the back end. He knows exactly what he's doing. Amen? And maybe he just wanted Kelly to be involved in this whole thing. You know, he wanted more takers. Amen? Well, why does God wait so long? Well, he wants more kids. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's like Carl Borchard or Cherry McLaren. They want more kids. They just keep coming. They got eight each. I used to think they were kind of having a race. But they both finally quit, I think. Yeah, they stopped at eight. I don't know what the significance of that was. Maybe eight was a new day or something. So that was really what. You know, in fact, on number seven, they named them the same. It was kind of strange that we're running out of names. So just named the eighth, the seventh was John, and one of them was a girl. No, I'm just kidding. And so God wanted more kids. Amen. He wanted Craig. You know, and he knew Craig was on the timeline. And certainly Jeff, you know, got to wait for Jeff. I mean, that was a long wait. Yeah. And so God just wanted more kids, amen? So I'm not worried about how long it takes, because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, He can take his time, and he's not really worried about how much time you're, because you're in a safe place. Those who are believers, those who have gone to sleep in the Lord, are just waiting the return and waiting his bringing the kingdom together finally. Amen? So that's what we're excited about. So we're not worried about, don't be worried about, you know, any of those in the Scripture even talked about it. So, well, where is this? He said he was coming. Where is he? And, you know, Peter says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God knows exactly what he's doing. See, and your satisfaction is not in, you know, what time, kind of a timetable God's on, but your satisfaction is, if I have Jesus, I've got everything. You know, and whether he comes again during my lifetime or whether he doesn't, I'm satisfied. Amen? My satisfaction doesn't have to do with whether or not, you know, I think he's on time or not. Because that's not what moves me as a believer. What moves me as a believer, as one who has been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of me, and he teaches me, and he cares for me, and he directs me, and causes me to be completely filled, me to be completely full, and I'm satisfied. And so therefore, anything that he asks me to do, I'm not really checking a timetable. Amen? Amen. Help me out here. Good. Amen. All right. So let's look over here. I'm going to read again those last few verses of chapter 4 just to kind of give us a running start, as kind of is my way. And Verse 14 out of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. You there? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who have died in their bodies, will God bring with Him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, so the Lord said this, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede, prevent, is it may, actually it means precede them which are already gone to sleep in the Lord. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So there's the mechanics of how the Lord will come for His church, those who are dead, in the righteous who have died living by faith in the Lord Jesus, George Washington or, you know, whoever these, the folks coming forward, Martin Luther, and, you know, whether or not you believe these guys were fully saved or not, I'm not worried about that. I'm just folks past, your grandmother, you know, somebody who you know knew the Lord, and she's gone. Now she's dead. She's her body has died. And she is now in the presence of the Lord by her spirit. Some folks have them asleep until the Lord comes. I'm of the, because of certain scriptures, of the belief that somebody's, that you're in the presence of the Lord. That you're, you know, conscious in the presence of the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, don't, if you want to argue with me about that, there's no point to it because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, but those who have gone will be returned to their bodies. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain, of course, Paul's gone, and he was the one teaching this, and he's no longer here. And so those of us who are alive and remain, at this point, he's assuming that he's going to be one of the ones who's still around. Kind of like y'all are, like David. You know, the Lord's going to be coming, and I'm ready. I'm looking for Him. Amen? And so we should be looking for the presence of the Lord. Amen? Always looking for the presence of the Lord. Now, not to the extent that it precludes you fulfilling the call of the gospel upon your life. Amen? I mean, you know, you don't need to be sitting in a white robe on top of a roof waiting for Jesus to come. And many of you know that that has happened in multiple occasions over the years, you know, that you've had people just, I mean, they've become absolutely worthless to the gospel and just become kind of oddballs. God didn't really want you to be an oddball, and He likes you to be an oddball in the sense that you're not of this world, but He doesn't want you to be one in the sense that brings shame to the gospel, which is those people are just nuts, and there's no point to even listen to them. Amen? I mean, you're a person who gets up every morning, goes to work, provides for your family, even does more than the average person to watch after the needs of those who are in your purview, and loving your neighbor, caring for them, and bringing to pass the love of God and the kingdom of God as an example upon the earth, and at the same time declaring how that is received, which is through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amen? But there's a fruit to it. There's works that come out of that relationship, and they bring to pass something that's tangible and able to be seen in the earth. Amen? It brings about an ability for somebody to look at your life and say, wow, that's a little different than most people. You know, I have people who say, do you really like doing that stuff? Oh man, it's my life. That's absolutely it. Yeah. Because they don't understand. They don't have a heart for these things. Because they're living, again, like we talked about earlier, they're living in darkness. Amen? There's two different worlds going on in this world now today. There's a world that lives in darkness, And when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God has arrived. So at that moment, even though there had been prophecies concerning it, and certain who had walked by faith according to the promises of the Lord through the law of Moses and on through to bring Christ into this world at the fullness of time, then now, because he has now died and risen again and has adopted us into his family through faith in his name, as the scripture says, his name through faith in his name, according to the apostle, had made this made the blind man whole, made the lame man whole, the name of Jesus through faith in his name. And so therefore that the same name through faith by the indwelling Holy Spirit has created a whole nother kingdom on this earth, and we live in that kingdom. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. We live in the kingdom of light. However, we know a lot of folks, and we're close to a lot of folks, who live in darkness. And darkness is so close. How many know darkness is very close? It's like, it's like right up against you, and in fact, with your mind, and sometimes, sadly, with my actions, we cross over to the other one. We still have that kind of a close relationship with that kingdom of darkness. And that's where the Lord is saying, no, I want to separate you. And as you fellowship with me and fellowship with one another, that's where that kingdom of darkness loses its strength and its hold. Amen? And that's what this is talking about today. Because when we begin in verse 5, he's already told us, okay, the Lord is going to come for his church, the shout, the trump of the trump of God, the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain, they will be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Odd physics, walking on water, being caught up in the air, no airplane, no helicopter. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Okay, interestingly, okay, so he first described, again, this is a letter, there's no chapter breaks, you know, he didn't stop last week at chapter 4, you know, and so when they're reading this letter, they just plow on through, just keep reading the letter, right? Okay, so they're reading that letter, and so immediately after talking about the coming of the Lord, he says, but of these things, he just briefly kind of gave them the synopsis, because you don't really need me to tell you this. You already know. I've already taught you these things. We've already discussed these things at length. But here's the one thing that is more important than the fact of that Jesus is coming one day. What is important about is what's happening in you today. What's happening in you tomorrow. What's happening with you day after day after day in looking as you rise and as you go to sleep. He says, but of the times and seasons, you don't have any need that I write to you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. How is that? How does a thief come? I see lips moving, but no sound. Wait a minute. Okay, now go ahead, try again. Unannounced and quickly. Very good. Thank you, Bert. And you can move up. You don't have to sit on the back row anymore. Your elbow has moved back. Norman's never gotten off the back row. He's ministering to the unbelievers as they come in. Amen. All right, now, so you know perfectly. So he's coming as a thief in the night. He's coming. And what you want to be is prepared, but not standing at the door. You know, looking at the peephole. But you do want to be prepared, amen? So, we don't, again, the folks that are looking out the peephole at 3 a.m., you don't need to be doing that. Amen? Because you need to be otherwise occupied. As a person who lives in a human flesh and blood body, you need to feed it. You need to take care of it. You need to take it to work or, you know, make sure it's well provided for, because that body of yours actually is your gospel preaching machine. Amen? It's that gospel preaching machine that God provided for this world. It kind of gets around. It's kind of used to the gravity. You know, it knows exactly, you know, pretty much how to function in this environment. It's kind of like your earth suit. Amen? I don't mean the suit. I mean, you know, this part. So this is your earth suit. So you're here and you're designed to, otherwise God would just take you home. Amen? You think? He would just take you home. But no, he's got you on a mission here, and your mission is granted to raise more God people, to create some of your own. But by the same token, your mission is to create some from your neighbors. Amen? So, I mean, you know, Tammy and Jeff done a good job. They kind of carried on and made a few more. But we don't want to just grow by addition. Amen? We want to grow by multiplication. That is, and I'm not talking about just this church. That's not what we're out for. What we're growing is the kingdom of God. We're growing the kingdom of God by bringing people to faith in the Lord Jesus. So our understanding of this coming of the Lord is that He is coming suddenly, quickly, and He's coming in a sense unexpected, because you just don't know when, right? So He's coming unexpectedly, and when He does come, you know, even like a thief in the night, you hear the door turn, or you hear somebody bust your door down. It's kind of like, whoa, you know, you are a little bit startled, but you expected. You expected this coming of the Lord, all right? For when they shall say, now here's an interesting, now we're kind of turning a corner here. When they shall say, peace and safety. Now that word peace is not shalom. It's a different word. I didn't write it down. Irike, I believe, in the Greek. And it's really, that is the cessation of war, the cessation of conflict. You know, particularly shalom has a much broader meaning. It has shalom. The peace of shalom is complete integrity, completeness, finished. You know, it has a much broader meaning of peace and well-being. But the word irike here, it means just the cessation of war. So in other words, they are saying, hey, it's great. Everything has been settled. The Middle East, Iran no longer wants a nuke. Everything is in fine shape. You know, no problems in Selma, Alabama anymore. I mean, everything's hunky-dory all across the world. So when they shall say, peace and safety, okay, everything, just trust us. It's like the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, I don't think so. Amen? I don't think so. The security, because security kind of gives you the idea that they've got it handled. If you think somebody's got it handled, you are sadly mistaken. You know, God has got it handled. Your city leaders, they, you know, do the best they can to keep a police force going, but they're not going to be there every time somebody shows up and busting in. He says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So in other words, when they finally say, okay, we've got it done, everything's all I's are dotted, T's are crossed, everything is good, is in great shape, we have done it. We have created the world peace. He says, then. When they say that, then. It's very interesting how God actually, you know, specifically uses these words to define, here's something that happened. Well, here's what's happening next. And when you read these things carefully, it's really very interesting to see and to follow the verbs and the way which God talks, or the way the apostle speaks by the Holy Spirit, to see that there is a progression of events based on what people are saying and what's going on in the world. And then God says, okay, when they say this, then here's what happens. Sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So in other words, it's kind of like a woman with child. Having a child, you kind of don't escape. Until that child is born, you know, we've had four of them at my house, and, you know, it just, until it's done, you're not out of the woods. I mean, that mother has got to have that child. And I know all the women say amen. And so there's really no escape for that. It's just, you've got to wait it out to the end. Verse 4, but you, brethren, that is, all of you, those in Christ Jesus, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, looking at that passage, I've always asked, you know, Lord, what now, of course those that are drunk in the night, and those that sleep in the night, shouldn't you be sleeping in the night? But the key is not that people are sleeping at night, of course, when you should be sleeping. Obviously you don't want to be sleeping drunk, certainly, or sleeping during the day. That's before you had electric lights, that's the only time you could work, was during the day. So you wanted to be, you know, awake. So of course people are sleeping at night. But the key here is not that you're sleeping in the night. The idea is that there's two different kingdoms going on. There's a kingdom of the day and a kingdom of the night. You are not of the kingdom of the night. You are of the kingdom of the day. So no matter what, whether it's day or night here, you know, morning or evening here, it doesn't matter what time it is or what the conditions are, whether it's daylight or dark, you're still in the kingdom of the day. You are separate. You are living in a separate kingdom and a separate environment. Because verse 5, look at verse 5 again, let's break it down a little bit. You are all the children of... You are all... This, again, he's talking to... Who is he talking to? What's this letter? To the Thessalonian church. And he spent some time in chapter 1, 2, and 3 talking specifically about the testimony that the Thessalonian church had in their region, in the area, certainly of Macedonia and Achaia, the upper and lower Greek provinces. And speaking of that, he says, now you are all children of the light. So that may or may not, you know, include one here or there, but the taught group of this particular church has a very, by and large, strong reputation for being, every one of them, believers. There's not one that is separated out that says, except for Jimmy John, you know, and he's one that we need to watch out for or help along. He says, you are all children of the day, or children of the light, and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Okay? There's your distinction. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So, when he's saying do not sleep, that is, your sleeping would be to, as I mentioned earlier, to kind of mix back in with the world and their ideas and their modus operandi, their way of doing business, their way of dealing with circumstances and troubles, trials. Well, maybe they just go to sleep, or maybe they just get drunk. You know, they have a certain way that they deal with things. And we've talked about this before, is that how many of you were raised in this world? Me and Larry, okay? Okay, let's all get up and take a breath. And need to get you up and have you stretch. So all of us were raised in this world, and therefore we learned out from at the outset, barring having a solid Christian upbringing in the true Word of God, and many of us kind of missed that. You know, basically you were taught do this and don't do that, and God will like you. And the truth is that's far from the truth. You can't do anything. The Romans tells us is that, you know, it's by your salvation is by faith. And the law is fulfilled as you walk by faith, not as you attempt to walk by the law. And so therefore, as you are living in this world, we many times tend to kind of get sucked into the idea that some things can be changed by worldly means. Huh? Amen? And sometimes that's they do a good job of trying to make convince you that here's the way that things could be fixed. And especially if you're in school, and really, school is something, because you know that's even almost kind of worse than the news, because you're stuck there 8 hours a day. You're not stuck on, you can turn the channel on the TV, but I mean if young people like Reed here are in a school situation, it's kind of like they put you in there, and you know, are you going to public school or what?
Private
school. Okay, yeah, he's probably in a little better shape. Now, but see, those who are in public schools, really, I mean, they're stuck in there for 8 hours a day. I mean, they can't move, can't go anywhere, and with a whole group of folks who are of the kingdom of darkness, right? And I'm not telling you don't do that, but what I'm telling you is be aware of it. Just be aware of it. I mean, you do what the Lord tells you to do, and we'll be happy to talk to you about it. And I know some of you have grandkids as well that you know you're concerned of in that regard. And it's not you can't fix that. Those children have parents, and so you can pray and you can make recommendations, but then you have to go talk to Jesus. Then you have to let that work. But what you're going to be doing, but what we're doing here, is having that understanding that the longer you spend with the world and the kingdom of this world, kingdom of darkness, and the longer you spend listening to their means of taking care of problems, and the longer you let that filter into your mind, then you become more susceptible to hearing what their answers may be, and maybe giving it some credence, or giving it some ability to get into your thinking. But here, and so what the apostle here is warning of is doing just that. Is that we are not of the night. We are not of the night. We are of the day. How many know you are of the kingdom of heaven? You are of the day. You're living in, from your heart, living in heaven. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit that will teach us everything that we need to know. Jesus told us that. When you go back in, again, you go back into the portion of John, we talked about this last week, that you go to the portion of John that he begins to tell them that he's going to be leaving them the Holy Spirit, and they're going, wait a minute. We didn't sign up for a Holy Spirit, we signed up for you. He said, well, this is the better deal. Better deal is the Holy Spirit. He's going to, because I'm going to separate you guys. You're not going to be all hanging out together as a lump group of 12. I'm going to spread y'all all around the world. And so the Holy Spirit is a seed. He's planting in you seeds, and you're going to plant seeds. And the Holy Spirit indwells each one in whom you plant a seed. And each one he plants a seed in, the seed is planted in him. And the Holy Spirit begins to multiply in his presence in every single believer that you win to the Lord. Amen? I mean, you know, they're not just, you know, oh, their faith in Jesus. But you have planted a seed which produces fruit. Amen? That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. There's a mechanic to this. There's a physics to this. It's not something that you're going to read in your physics book. But God talks about it. He said he put seed in everything to produce after its own kind, didn't he? From the very beginning in Genesis, he said the seed is in itself. Except for the case of the strawberry. Which is the seeds are on the outside. Now, let's look further here. Therefore, let us not sleep as do those who are in the night, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch. Let us watch, that is, be aware and be sober. Sober doesn't mean just not drinking, not drunk. The sober indicates a preparedness for whatever is coming. Because you're a leader. You're a leader in the kingdom of God. Well, I don't want to be a leader. I didn't sign up to be a leader. Too bad for you. You are. That's what God called you for. You don't get to decide what you're going to do. God called you and he's going to assign you and put you in place. Because number one, he created you and he knew exactly what you were built for. Amen? Because he kind of built you. He knew exactly what you were built for. He knew exactly the husband you have. He knew exactly the wife that you have. He knew exactly the kids that you have. He knows exactly your situation. God, don't you know? Absolutely. Actually, I do. Actually, I do know. I know exactly. So, men, it's incumbent upon you, whether you're married or not, to be prepared to be married, to be prepared to be a man of God, to be prepared to follow the Lord in your single circumstance or once you're married in your married circumstance. That is to follow what the Lord has prepared you for, which is to lead, to be that lead for the Word of God and the kingdom of God in your family. Amen? And if you're not there yet, get prepared now. Well, I'll get prepared when I get married. No, don't wait. Don't wait. You definitely don't want to wait, I'll guarantee you. You want to be prepared before that happens. Amen? Because she needs it. Amen. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So you have this group of folks who are there in the night. They are of the night. And they sleep and they're drunk because they don't have anything else to look for. This world has nothing else to look for. They're just looking at the news. They're looking at the Middle East. They're looking. This whole world, apart from Christ, has. I want you to know. Don't you know they have no hope other than what they see? Huh? I mean, you know, you may think that everybody heard of Jesus. They didn't. Or if they did, they didn't hear. The distinction between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world, and then there's this middle section of believers who are kind of one foot in both because they have one of these bodies that tends to kind of like it here in some manner. And they like some of the benefits of it. But yet they like the idea. They know that the world is passing away. So God, what His desire is to get you fully in the kingdom of light so that you aren't deceived by all of this drama that's going on in the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. Huh? So there is a very strong distinction that needs to be made, and what you want to say is, Lord, show it to me and walk me through it and bring me into that fullness. Right? Now we talk about, we've talked about, most of you know the teaching Pastor Jim does on the chairs, into coming out of sin or coming out of hypocrisy, which was be a good person and God will like you. So you, both of those are just sin. And then you repent. That is, you change your mind because you heard the Word of God. And chair 4, you get into faith and you begin to walk by faith. Chair 5 is where most of us kind of touch the burner and, whew, oh, that's hot. I don't think so. But you don't understand that that's where God's going to do His work. David was talking about that earlier this morning. It's not that God gave you that. It's just that's part of what's happened. Part of this world. Part of this world. Now, God can deal with it, but many times He may be trying to do two things at once. He'll deal with your migraine, but He'll also deal with you at the same time. He'll use it to draw you closer to Himself. Amen. You may have one thing or another, amen? But God likes you so much that if He can kind of get you in the door, He may get you over like a car dealer. Once He gets you looking at that thing and kicking the tires, He may, well, let's come on inside and just talk about it, And so what He wants to do is He wants to bring, once He's got you in, He wants to go ahead and get you free. Amen? He's not like the new car sales. That's where the comparison ends, okay? He got you in the door, see? Yeah, what are we going to name that one, Dave? See, I don't name these. Dave names them all, so we don't know. And so once He does that, once He brings you in, then He's beginning to transform you. And whatever hitch you got to your get-along, whatever problem you have, God is going to use that to transform you and to draw you and to show you that He loves you and that He is going to take everything and turn it for your good. Amen? So all these things... So even though you still have a body and you still have a mind that was raised in this world, having been delivered into the kingdom of His dear Son, you still have this mind that was raised here and you still have this body that's tempted by the world. He's bringing you in to the kingdom of heaven and drawing you out of the darkness. Right? Yeah. You first of all, darkness first is dissipated from the heart, and then it's dissipated from your mind, and then it's dissipated in your deeds. All right? That's the growth. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I know you know it by heart, but so powerful. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So that's what will happen by the renewing of your mind. Another place He says, gird up the loins of your mind. That is, let your mind be... don't let your mind just run wild. Don't let your mind just be carried away with this world's ideas and thoughts. Because that's what He's talking about here. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Because they are part of that kingdom. For they that are drunken in the night. They have nothing else to look forward to. Do you? Not only do you have something to look forward to, but you are already here. You are already. You're not looking. Says the bulk of the church is looking for heaven. Oh, I can't wait for heaven. Get out of this veil of tears. Dear Lord, sing that song again. When we all get to heaven. Hey, how about today being a day of rejoicing? Amen? How about today being a day of rejoicing? In this world you have, Jesus said, tribulation. But cheer up! I've overcome this world. Already. I've already overcome it. It's already been overcome. And you're in me, and I'm in you. And we're both in the Father, John 17. Verse 8, look at this. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Getting back into Ephesians. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So put these things on. Put these things on. You put these things on by your meditation, by your words, by how you approach a devastating situation, because you know more than what somebody who's living in darkness knows about how things are fixed in your favor. Aren't they? That's why you come to this place to get encouragement that the kingdom of heaven is really here, and there's other people who are in this same boat with you. And they believe that this world is passing away and I'm being changed. Amen? And so the encouragement is, wow, I come here, you know, one day, you know, Kelly's kind of low and I'm helping her up. But next day, she's just blowing me away because the love of God has transformed her life. Amen? Amen? And it's so true. Every one of you run into that. You know, you keep going, oh, but I've got this sword wound right here. You know, and you had one, and the Lord is healing you, and He's strengthening you, and is bringing you in to the fellowship of the saints, because it's necessary. You need one another. Amen? Because again, we have this mind and this body that get beat up in this world. In chair 5, for instance. How do you like this? I've got 7 chairs up here, and y'all can't even see them, because they're all in heaven. Dave, you need to get some kind of a graphic. See, in Dallas, we got chairs. And Pastor Jim would pull his chairs up and give you chairs. You know, here it's kind of hard to do. These are big chairs. But we got steps. Okay, step 1, step 2. Okay, yeah, you can preach this your own way. All right. But let us who are of the day be sober. Now, this is not about behavior, is it? It's not about behavior. It's be sober, that is, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Being receiving the promise of God. See, being sober is what you believe, which produces what you do. Huh? It's what it produces, what you believe. How many know what you believe produces actually what you do? It's like the Bible says, he that doesn't work doesn't eat. Well, if I don't work, I guess I'm not going to eat. If you believe that, that'll be true. Well, of course, it's kind of true regardless. But let us who are of the day be so. Okay, I read that. For God has not appointed us, listen, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, we who are living in the day, not living in the night, and not walking in the night, we are not appointed to wrath. In other words, wrath doesn't come upon us. So whatever you believe about the end of chapter 4 when Jesus is coming, and He's coming for those that are alive and remain on the earth, and those are, you know, whether He's coming early or whether He's coming late. How many are going on the first load? Amen. Amen. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, doesn't really matter. I'm not going early. When Jesus comes, I'm going. Amen. When He comes for the church, I'm going. Because He's not appointed us to wrath. So therefore, it's the one thing that we do know is that even the great tribulation is not the wrath of God. You've got the bowls. You read Revelation? You've got seals. You've got trumpets. And you've got bowls of wrath. Okay, the bowls of wrath don't apply to you. I just let you know that part. So if you're reading the bowls of wrath, they don't apply to you. You're gone before then. Jesus has come to pick up the church. So he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, sozo, deliverance, by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, whether we wake or sleep, that is, whether we've died or whether we're still alive and remain, that we should live together with him. He is coming for us. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's what we're doing today. Even as you also do. In other words, they're fulfilling this in their own local body, as we're doing today. It does say, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. So that is also a function of the church, is to, for each one of you, to edify each other and to comfort each other. All right? That's part of what your job is as being members of the church, that are those who are in the day. Because since we know that we are living in the day, we are all living together in the same kingdom. Therefore, living in that kingdom, we have these things in common. And we know what's coming. And we know what the enemy is about. So therefore, we comfort one another because we know how to do that. And we beseech you, we ask you, we desire you earnestly, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly for their in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So what that means is, don't get in a tussle with one another and where you have to call the pastor. Best way you can esteem your pastor is don't be fighting with your neighbor. Don't call us in the middle of the night. And be at peace among yourselves. Now listen, we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly. Unruly. We warn them that are unruly. That is, it was a really interesting word there, is autoktos, and it was basically used for people who didn't show up for work. I thought it was funny. So warn, exhort the unruly, those who aren't showing up for work, or those who are not fulfilling what the Lord has given them to do in the body, not sweeping the floor, but encourage them who are not living as if they're in the day. Encourage them. It says encourage them. Exhort them and encourage them. Amen? And I'm going to stop there, because there's too much good to keep trying to plow through. So how many know you're living in the kingdom? How many know you're living in the day? How many know the difference between the day and the night? How many know what daylight saving time is? Where they switch it on you. Oh my gosh. Now, God's doing a great thing in you, and he wants you to do this. And it's really powerful to make this distinction between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And to know that there are people, and that there are those who live in the world who don't have a clue, who don't have an inkling that there is another kingdom. And you, whether you think, and I know you don't, because nobody thinks they've made it. Nobody thinks they've, very few believers think that they have made it. But I want you to be encouraged today that as you meditate upon these things, that you're being changed, and that you are living in the kingdom of the day, one day after the next, not because of something that you decided you're going to perform. Now, you may have a something the Lord, you know, describes to you to go ahead and begin to walk in, perform, doing a certain activity, or changing your habits and the things that you do, so that you will have a more defined relationship with Him. Not because He will like you better, and not because you'll win more points, but it's because you will be more in the day. You will be more attuned to hearing the Lord by these things. And therefore, greater fruit will happen, will come to pass, because you have followed Him in that and trusted in that. Does that make sense? It probably better not. You'd need to go get personally with the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me out of the kingdom of darkness more fully in my mind and my body, trusting only in you. Because there's just the activities and the habits that we have just allowed to creep in and kind of have their way with us. Huh? And so you want to say, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me as I'm living into the kingdom of the day. Because in that way, your ministry will be more effective. Your joy will be full, believe it or not. Well, if I did that, I just wouldn't have any fun. No, your joy will be full. So daily, you're asking the Lord, Lord, show me, lead me, direct me. Allow me to be changed into the kingdom of the day and out of the kingdom of the night. Amen? Amen. All right, next time we get together, we'll talk about the rest of this chapter, because it's so, so powerful, telling you how to walk, rejoicing evermore, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Amen? So go ahead and read the end of it, and then we'll do it again.